Hi, Mark.
Hey, Jay.
Outstanding.
Oh, in the middle of something. Yeah, go ahead.
Outstanding work on the thumbnails, by the way. if anyone doesn't know yet, Mark took over the thumbnail creation portion of the show a few months ago, and we've gotten nothing but compliments. But he's delved into pure clickbait.
Wait a second. No. So I was thinking about this, and so if every company in the world is going to go with really fat chicks and gay dudes, mm-hmm. there's a big hole in the market, and no puns, we're going to fill it.
Well, you know, it's apropos to what we're going to be talking about.
Somebody's got to use the hot chicks. That's going to be us. We're defining our target audience.
Now, did you check for bulges?
Before you...
Pretty soon, you're going to have to do that, because when we get to the Sports Illustrated stuff,
you got to be careful these days.
Adam's apples.
Come on, but you know, are traps gay? It's the eternal question.
Well, you know, no, just the people who have sex with them. We are now live streaming exclusively on Rumbles on Fridays. I think we're going to start doing 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as a standard thing. Thank you for all the new subscribers and all the new listeners and all the new people. We landed a big one last week with the Trump Friend or Fed, the fantastic episode. We keep getting better and better with those, and better guests. No offense to any of the previous guests, but I mean, come on. We had Thomas 77, Ryan Dawson.
We had a good lineup. It was
solid. And Pete Quinones on there, and of course LB Muniz. It's one of those things where no matter what I say, someone's going to get offended. So
that's kind of like the through line of our entire show. So go for it.
Yeah, we love y'all, but you know, come on.
So thank you to everyone who came on. And do we announce the next? Is it too early?
It's too early to announce guests, but we can announce that in June, looking like June 16th. But we'll see exactly what day we land on. The next subject will be Joe Rogan, Friend or Fed. So that should be an interesting one, and potential for a very special guest. But we will save that until I know more.
we'll leave that in the oven until it's baked.
Yeah, until I start freaking out and actually send an email. Okay, so Mark.
So yeah, I wanted to jump it off because every week I freak out. You know, what the hell am I going to talk about? And then luckily you inspired me yesterday with, I believe it was a response to a tweet. I don't even know what the original tweet was about, but this is a topic I've always sort of thought about. Even in my agnostic days, the whole natural selection thing never convinced me. And so I'm going to read what you wrote here because I found it to be.
Well, hang on. Let's read the tweet I was responding to. This is from Manju Baturu, who in his bio says, future governor general of Chinese America, inventor of popular Mandarin words. I coined the term and concept of Beizu.
Okay, that's white liberals.
Right. Yeah. So he put out a tweet saying, there was this Jesus guy who turned water into wine and multiplied five loaves of bread and two fish to feed 5,000 people, and he rose from the dead after being crucified. You guys seriously believe this? I don't want to offend anyone or make anyone uncomfortable, but seriously.
To which you responded.
Do you want to read it?
I got it. Too much bait here, but let's consider the alternative. We live in a universe that seemingly willed itself into existence for absolutely no reason. Planets, stars, phenomena, etc., formed randomly for billions of years until Earth and all of its life just fluked into being. Then somehow a bunch of apes just randomly evolved into humans who would go on to create and worship and make-believe gods for thousands of years because they were stupid. Until one magical day, they suddenly stopped being stupid and invented science for no reason. And that gets us to now, where most of the people in the West are massively depressed and feeling without purpose because there is none in secularism. I'll take the guy who walked on water and loves us perfectly and eternally in this world and the next every damn day.
And I'll take a bow.
Very, very well written. And yeah, that got me thinking, because there's always the cliche, even to an evolution skeptic, where they say, well, okay, one side, the creation side, depends on miracles and God and this fantastic idea. And the other side is evolution that only needs one miracle, which is, of course, that nothing exploded and created everything. And I think that's fake and gay, because it's not one miracle. That's like the first in an infinitely long line. It's like what they need is 100 million miracles stacked one on top of the other, plus every like law of nature to go in reverse. So entropy, yeah, if we do the opposite, the things were, it was so chaotic that it devolved into perfect order. And not just perfect order, but perfectly balanced order and life
for millennia.
Right. Well, yeah, no, don't forget, all of this also requires an infinite timeline, because odds, right? And if the odds are going to be in your favor, it really helps if you just add the infinitum in there, because then anything's possible, right?
And I mean, let's just start with the first claim, right? The Big Bang, because this is, and we're going to get into narrative control and into different kind of narratives, but just okay. So in the Christian creation story, God creates heaven and earth and all things. And
sorry, not even just Christian, literally every story until 100 years ago.
Right. But we'll concentrate on the Christian myth, because that's the one I'm most familiar with. So there's this statement over here, right? That God creates a world essentially for us. We're in the garden, we have a fall, and that leads us to our existence here on earth. Okay. Claim one. Claim two is that somehow, right, billions of years ago, there was nothing. There was less than nothing. There was
negative thing.
The negative nothing, because it wasn't just nothing. It just was non-being. And then all of a sudden, for no reason, the entire universe sprang into existence from one singularity. And I've heard posited the claims. And look, I used to believe this stuff. Or at least I would
believe being the right word.
Well, here's the thing. It's not even a belief for most people. It's just a repetition. You repeat it because that's what you've heard, and that's your input. Your input was the story. All the smart people are saying this. You believe in science because science is blue. You don't be an idiot, right? So you just repeat these things, and you never think about them. And it works as long as you don't actually spend any time questioning it, right? If you put your criticisms towards religion and not science, science works. If you reverse it, all of a sudden you go, okay, wait a minute. So the one claim I've heard is that black holes somehow generate universes, that they're sucking in all this matter and they spit it out into this other dimension, into an alternate dimension, and then we're actually in an alternate dimension. And so some big black hole at the beginning of time sprang into existence and coughed out all the universal stuff that then created planets and stars and phenomena and then life on Earth, right? That is the claim that you have to believe. That's the most plausible thing we've heard so far from out of science. Which again, you go, well, okay, fine. Right, there's your claim. That sounds reasonable, because you're an idiot.
I'm just going to jump in there. I don't want to make an intellectual argument, because that's where people get stuck in, because they're both beliefs.
Let me just get to it, Barry, because then you go, okay, well, that's an elegant answer. It's like, no, because that creates more questions. See, the problem with that whole like massive black hole sucking in stuff from an alternate dimension and coughing it out into this dimension, it's just like, okay, but where did that other dimension start? And where did that other dimension start? Was there a prime dimension? Like, was there one okay, singular dimension? And how did that start? Right? Like, you're caught in an infinite regress of, but what was the start? And then some smart mark will go, well, there is no start. It's just infinity and looping back in and stuff. Okay, but how does that work? Like, your story doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end. Your story is just chaotic whizzle wazzle. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to talk about beliefs, and I'll call it back to you about belief systems, but if you're given two choices between one belief system that has a narrative, that has a beginning, middle, and end, alpha and omega, we have an idea of what started this, where we're at right now, and where we're going, and how to organize ourselves in this world properly, right? Christian message, versus this other thing, which is just nihilistic top to bottom, because even if you fervently believe in it, it means nothing. Like, you are nothing.
That's it. And obviously, that's kind of the point, I think. But let's take it back a few steps here because I like criticizing evolution. And I'm sure we're going to get our asses handed to us in the comments. Come at us. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a guy who thinks about stuff and like to be a perennial heretic. And I find that this narrative is a bit flawed. Like, so go from the beginning. So nothing exploded, bunch of shit's flying around. What is the beginning amount of mass necessary to create another magical thing called gravity? Like, at what point was the one, like all these separate things, one of them became big enough that started attracting things, and then those things formed order and patterns, and then they just stopped again, just like evolution just stopped, apparently. Okay, so that's one criticism. It goes on. Then you have skip a billion other miracles. You get to the primordial ooze. Then you have adaptation through natural selection. So which fish failed with the arms and then mated with another fish that failed with the arms until the point that a bunch of them accidentally did it right the first time, right? That's like flight. We invented flight because we looked up and went, oh, that's possible. Maybe we could mimic it. But without the ideal to mimic, where's the impetus for invention? And if it's through natural selection, through advantage, there'd be 1,000 stages in between where there's no advantage to having wings that don't work. Right? Like, was there a certain species that were born on clouds and then they all like fell, and then some of them, it's just ridiculous. Well,
okay, but let's examine the narrative, right? And this is just to your point. We're not discussing science. We're not discussing facts. We're not discussing anything like that. We're just talking the story, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I want to get into science, but go ahead.
Because I'm sure you can get Neil deGrasse Tyson on here, and he could give you a very impassioned breakdown of everything like that. But it all comes down to a story, because they're selling a story. The facts don't matter if the story is compelling. The facts can be completely wrong if the story is compelling. And if you don't believe me, hey, the last few years of existence on this earth could probably prove that to you.
Learn some lessons.
But let's just assume this, right? Primordial ooze. So here's the other part of this story. We all evolved, all of life on this planet, observable or not, evolved from some sort of microorganism. Sorry. So. It's swimming in this ooze, or like little tiny microbes that eventually evolved into multicellular complex life. Okay, over billions of years, because we can just add number. We can just add years.
Right?
It's like 6 million, 600. So all of a sudden, that 6 million number is completely plausible. Sorry.
I can't.
Don't think about it, Jason. It dangles in front of me like a fucking ball sack. It's these little tiny microbes. Again, if they're perfectly adapted to live in the sludge, why would they ever evolve?
Right. What's the motivation?
What's the impetus to evolve past a single cell organism? Because we still have those.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like single cell organisms stopped happening. Because
right, that's why. Like, if it was advantageous to move on, then whatever what's the science? There's a science word for whatever pressure, right? Whatever the environmental pressure was that forced the adaptation would have wiped out the ones that didn't adapt. But we still have all of the previous things. Lots of them, obviously, they say there's like Cro-Magnon and all that crap. But anyway, so what I was going to get to is where you had sort of, in my opinion, fucked up in the beginning, is the conflation between evolution and science. Because I understand science. To me, science is not a bad thing. It's a tool like maths. It's there to be used and applied, but it's not my number one pet peeve of the past, what, I don't know, it's like 5 years, 10 years, is believe in science. Mm. There couldn't be a more incoherent statement in the world, because that's like saying, I believe in math. Like, your opinions on math don't really matter. I'm sorry. Maths are what they are. They're there. You can use them. They're a functional tool if applied properly, not in the Bill Gates way. Same thing with science. And there couldn't be anything more. Okay, so what are the rules of science? Observable, testable, repeatable. Which one of those fits the evolutionary process? Did you see it? Did you test it? Did you repeat it? Because as far as I know, it stopped before we developed a written language. I haven't seen any new species. So this is to conflate this idea, this, I call it a belief system. This, I don't know what the correct term would be, but to call it, to lump it in with science is the trick. And then you justify, oh, you're supposed to believe in it. When no, it's a belief system. And this gets to my larger point, which is that the life and the universe are too big for us to understand. So it's that old cliche, not a cliche, but whatever the phrase, you got to believe in something. It's not that there's an impetus to believe in something. It's that you cannot function in the world without a belief system. You'll go crazy. You will not, we have to operate upon a substrata of belief. That's necessary. So all that's up to you is what you're going to believe in, because you can't understand the universe. It's too big. There's too much. For all we know, we're as evolved as who knows anything. So when you have your choice, when you have, okay, well, here's the option. We've got this science, as in what they call it now, that's been around, this theory, for 100 years. You can believe in that if you want. Or you could take this book or religion that is the collection of historical knowledge passed down through thousands of years and wisdom and these lessons. It's your choice. Do the one you want. But the past, my life, and especially the past few years, has been an example to me of the consequences. You can judge a tree by its fruits. So look at where you place your beliefs and what are the outcomes. And this leads us into our first segment for the day. Believe it or not, the actions we've taken over the past couple of years have had consequences. And they're not being talked about. There might be a reason.
All-cause mortality, because, this came out on Wednesday. The latest ONS statistics on mortality in the UK. Well, if we look on the right-hand side, again, we've got this massive spike in excess mortality. This is what the Office for National Statistics had to say. The number of deaths registered in the UK in the week ending 21st of April 2023, week 16, was 14,024, which is 22.1% above the five-year average. It's quite an incredible situation. Let's just look at what the mainstream press said about this. That's it.
Shocking.
Full fact, no evidence for a rise in sudden deaths or that COVID-19 vaccines are the cause. And then we've got from New Scientist here, there are thousands more UK deaths than usual and we don't know why. We had massive excess mortality all the way through 2022. We're now in a process of excess mortality and all of, you know, running into the summer of 2023 as well. Just wanted to bring Canada on screen here. Excess deaths in Nova Scotia recently hit peak since start of COVID-19 pandemic. The last time Nova Scotia had a week where the numbers were lower than what would normally be anticipated was in May 2022. So they have not had below average excess mortality since May 2022. And yet nobody asking any questions. Nobody seems to care. The mainstream media isn't talking about it. Every day, it seems, Patrick, and this might be purely anecdotal, but every day it seems there's another report of some well-known personality that has dropped dead at the age of 30 or 40 or 50 suddenly. Total silence, but we've got the censorship industrial complex there, dismissing out of hand any questions about why this is happening.
Right, and so to me this follows. Because again, what story do you believe in? If the story you believe in is that it's all crazy random atom smashing and time, then why can't we improve it? right? That would be our impetus. We should be pushing evolution through science. We should. Why wouldn't it be our obligation to improve humanity? That makes perfect sense in one story. Whereas if you're going to follow the other story, which is that, well, we are made imperfect and perfected through, or forgiven, whatever, through grace. That's, I think, I don't know if you found the clip of.
I didn't know. Chris, I'll look Pratt. For it now, actually.
Yeah, Chris Pratt gave a speech at the, I don't know, some award show. And it was really, really well written because he kind of summed everything up without being preachy or in your face. I was a little bit preachy. He's like, you know, you got to believe in God. But this is, he encapsulized this entire message into like a 2-minute speech. That you have the two ways. One is pride and the other is the opposite of pride. And as we know, pride comes before things, and those things can be not the best things. Did you find it?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's a 5-minute clip, so I'll play, this is partway through where it's God is real.
Yeah.
God is real.
There you go. That's it.
Just bring it back a little bit.
Number 6, God is real. God loves you.
Can you turn it up a bit?
Best for you. Yeah.
There you go.
Let's put that back a little bit. Sorry, folks.
God loves you. God wants the best for you. Believe that. I do. Number 7, if you have to poop at a party.
Okay, so the one I saw was edited.
Because you're going to stink up the bathroom. Just do what I do. Lock.
I don't know. It's somewhere in there. Anyway, so we can go on.
Learn to pray.
Is it?
Learn to pray. It's easy, and it's so good for your soul. And finally, number 9, nobody is perfect. People are going to tell you you're perfect just the way you are. You're not. You are imperfect. You always will be, but there is a powerful force that designed you that way. And if you're willing to accept that, you will have grace. And grace is a gift. And like the freedom that we enjoy in this country, that grace was paid for with somebody else's blood. Do not forget it. Don't take it for granted. God bless you. Please get home safely. Thank you.
So that's it. Humility or ego? So I guess you can go to my other clips there.
Oh, I have do you want a clip or do you want the thread?
Yeah, in my thread, there's 3 I sent you. There's 2 more.
Hang on a second.
Yes, so.
So this is Ask Dr. Drew. Again, this is about excess deaths.
And we're gonna say, you know, I want to say so long, YouTube, but I don't think I'm saying anything controversial. I'm reserving many opinions.
This is why we're streaming. This is why we're streaming live on Rumble. Rumble is our new home. YouTube is now a secondary thought. I don't really care. I don't want the channel getting nuked necessarily. So if we say anything that I know is going to be too much for YouTube, yeah. I'll just edit it out and put an edited version. But if you're listening to this on YouTube now, come over to a Rumble. That's where the live show is going to be on every Friday. That's where the Friend or Freds are going to be live. We're not doing streaming live to YouTube. With Twitter, it'll come down to if we get our subscription. I've submitted and asked for to be part of the new program. I still haven't heard back from them yet, but there's probably a fucking backlog of millions of people. So,
That's to post video on Twitter.
We can post video on Twitter. It's just I'm working on that. But there'll be stuff on Twitter. We'll post stuff past the after the live stream on a whole bunch of different platforms. We're on iTunes, Spotify, favorite podcatcher, all that stuff. But if you want to support the channel, come over to Rumble. You can join our locals community. You can send us rants. You can help us continue this work because I think it's important. Because we are not alone. You are not alone. As long as we're around. And we're going to try to produce news that you can use. So
Hey, tagline. I like
it. Yeah, you like that one? That's for me. Anyways, so let's do this.
Yeah, so we kind of tied everything together, all our work, and we did an analysis of the U.S. specifically because we have the best data in terms of disabilities and whatnot, and using the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics coupled with excess mortality. And we put together a vaccine damage report. It's our best stab at estimating the human cost, which is the devastating cost, and then the economic cost, two separate things. And from our analysis, the human cost from the mRNA vaccines, and if it's not the vaccines, it's something else. So we're assuming vaccines. If it's not, it needs to be investigated, just full stop. 300,000 excess deaths in 21 and 22 from the vaccine. Now, we think that's conservative. Disabilities, we put out 1.36 million cumulative. And injuries is a new number we came up with. We came at it from the Pfizer clinical trials, the data there, the 2 months of the blinded study, plus what we're seeing in the absence data and the work time loss data. We came up with 26.6 million vaccine injured, which we're saying chronically sick and missing work. And so that's a total of about 30 million Americans, about 10% of the population. That's actually foots with what we saw in the adverse reactions in the clinical trials. So this is not too far off that number.
So hang on. Buck Johnson just put on an episode with Naomi Wolf. It got struck off YouTube. It's on Rumble. Anyone who's interested in any of this should go check that out. She lays out an amazing amount of work. Basically, she's been working with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon put out a call when the Pfizer documents basically got released, and he's like, look, I need people to help me work on this. So they got a surprising amount of people who, anyone working in the medical field, scientists, a wide array of people to basically comb through and add their expertise to look through the data and figure out what's going on. And I won't spoil the episode. Go check that out if you really want to ruin your day. I'll say this. This is one of those things that we knew, we've known, and we've been talking about for years now. But when it's confirmed,
yeah, it's something.
It's like looking in. It's like looking at the face of the devil. It's. I don't like getting emotional.
Play the next clip.
Hang on. I just want to talk through this. I don't like getting emotional in the streams, but this has been a hard week. Just listening to that stuff and dealing with this stuff, it's tough. Yeah. Even when you're in the position where you knew, you know.
Yeah, it's not a good place to be. This is not I told you so. You want it? Anybody want it?
And you know, and just going back to an old Twitter beef I had with Cyprian, who was, you know, talking about the Orthodox position on the death penalty. It's like, look, you know, I'm no theologian. I'm not high up in. I'm on the bottom rung of everything Orthodox. But if this stuff doesn't deserve the death penalty, I don't know what does. You know, I don't know what does.
I know one other.
And to see that the media and the right wing and our right wing people all obsessive of the Durham report and not this is sickening to me.
Right.
Like, I don't give a shit
what exactly
what Trump collusion bullshit narrative they put out in the media a few years ago. They did a thing, Trump included, that is leading to millions, just absolute millions of deaths and disabilities. It's anyways.
So this is
we're gonna have fun.
Keep the light there, Jay.
It's gonna be a fun show today.
This next clip is Mr. Michael Yeadon, who, if anyone's not familiar, he was the director of some department at Pfizer for many years. Okay, he became one of the first outspoken critics. And this is just to round it up.
are a former vice president of Pfizer. That's good. Could you just tell us very briefly about your position there?
So I was, until 2011, for many years, I was responsible for worldwide research and early development in their field of respiratory and allergy new medicines. That was it. 200 people indirectly across a couple of sites.
So that gave you a real insight into what was happening in early 2020.
There's not very many corners of this industry I've not had some knowledge of. And when I started noticing former colleagues of mine, including Sir Patrick Vallance, saying things on the television I knew weren't true and that I knew he knew weren't true, that's when the penny dropped for me, probably February 2020. I remember saying to my wife, this is not what they're saying it is. Something's going on. And then when I saw not only my country locking down, but dozens of countries locking down at the same time, I would say to your listeners, that was proof, and it's still proof, of a supranational operation. There's no way it could have happened at the local level, at the country level. Therefore, it must have occurred at the level above. Whether it was the WHO or the World Economic Forum or other, I don't know. But I'm convinced that action alone absolutely proves unequivocally that we didn't just get some virus drifting in and then, oh, we all panicked. They all did the same stupid, ineffective, known not to work things at the same time, none of which were in their country's pandemic preparedness plans, because I've read them all, right? So when I accuse these people of lying, I do it confident they're not going to sue me, because I would say, come on, sue me. I'd love to have discovery in courts. You will lose big time. And so they won't sue me. What they do is smear me and censor me, and I don't care anymore. Because we're facing something much worse than an alleged virus. At the very least, the things people have been injected with, the injuries to people from these so-called vaccines, I'm afraid, I wish I could tell you that it was accidental, but it wasn't accidental. I spent 32 years in rational drug design. I know, and I knew, and wrote it, before any of them had emergency use authorization, that they were dangerous. And I'm afraid, I'm convinced, and would say with my hand on the Bible in front of a court, a judge, that these injections have been made to injure people, to maim and kill deliberately.
Oof. So, to your point.
Sorry, everybody.
One story is that the world is random. And we're just biological, we're just a cluster of cells. You know, we started off as a cluster of cells in our mother's womb. We can be defined as that. There is no God. There is no top of the hierarchy. We're just it. We're just some cosmic quinky dink joke. And because of that, hey, you know, we can and should be experimented on, because, I mean,
if that's true, why not? Right.
Right? Why not? I mean, we're just a fluke, anyways.
And there's no reason we couldn't be improved if it's just randomness. So, yeah. Hats off, go for it. Right? I mean, I would prefer voluntary compliance on the being improved, but
right,
to each their own. Right? Okay, let's lighten this show up. You've got I briefly browsed your submissions. And I think they're usually I'm the lighthearted guy. And this was, sorry, this is, listen, I changed my pinned tweet on Twitter, which is a very important statement, to speak now or forever hold your peace. And this is why mm-hmm. we do this show. Sometimes you don't know what it is you can do. And I've been in that position. What am I going to do? Like, run around like a crazy man on the streets, or just tell the truth to the best of my ability and hope that people are willing to listen. That's what we're doing. I think that's what everybody needs to do. We are in a battle. And speaking the truth is an important thing, even when it sucks.
And to be very clear, and this is, I think, hopefully what we'll get to in the show, is that it's very important to know which battle you're in. We've said this multiple times over the last 2 years, but it's becoming, I mean, I don't know how much more clarity you need to get. This is a spiritual battle. Whether you believe in religion or you don't believe in religion, whether you believe in God or not believe in God, if you want to bring this down to a psychological element where you believe that these things are manifestations of a psychological imbalance and yada, yada, yada. Okay, great. Whatever terminology and language you want to use, is fine with me as long as you understand this. Demons are real.
Sorry. You came out of left field there for me.
People can be possessed.
I'm not arguing. Okay.
Human sacrifice was practiced for thousands of years in worship of false gods.
Did you listen to the last episode of Tinfoil Hat?
No.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Don't need to.
There was a guy, he's a professional psychologist talking about sorry to cut you off, but he's talking about satanic cults and all that stuff. And they were like, so is it like, do you think it could be true that there's satanic cults sacrificing kids? He's like, have you heard of history?
Thousands of years.
You want to find like one constant. That's it. So, you know,
thousands of years. Let's just talk about the story thing for a second, right? Gerard talks about this brilliantly and a few other things, but you know how the Jesus myth is not a myth because it breaks mythology. But here's the thing, right? For at least somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 years, human beings, or up until the story of Christ, so let's say 8,000 years,
right?
Human beings sacrificed other human beings, which meant anything from killing them in sacrificial ways to burning them to eating them, because oftentimes it was eating them, and oftentimes that included children. Okay, that was the standard operation of human society up until Christ, and then with the Christ message, suddenly human sacrifice stops. In every civilization who adopts it, within a generation, from the Aztecs to the Incas to the Norse to every single civilization who adopted, to the fucking Romans, everyone, okay, every single Koreans. Well, you know, if Jesus was a dog, it'd be a different thing. But you got to make this lighthearted somehow. My racisms aren't funny now. But
sorry.
Okay, so if it's just a story. And it's all there, just a.
Then it's a damn good one, right?
Mind control goat herders. Well, gosh darn it, sir.
Right, good story. Yeah, listen. Okay, you're preaching to the choir here. My arguments are deflating every year. Experience more life.
I know you don't want to go over an hour. We might have to go over a little bit more hour to get.
Let's
all this
see what
stuff.
You got. Get to it.
Let's do some Rachel Gilmore.
Oh God. Wait, did I sent you the BuzzFeed clip? Because so I just want to apologize to everybody first off, because I hate what I'm doing, and I'm throwing you in the bucket with me there, Jay, because all she wants is attention and she doesn't care how brutal she is to get it, and then we're turning around and giving it to her. So we are part of the problem. We know that. We admit it. We're well aware.
Here's a new rule for the show. We're allowed one Rachel Gilmore clip a show.
Oh, wait, so we can't do the BuzzFeed, or is this it?
This is it.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm satisfied.
This feeds into Elon. We can do the BuzzFeed next week. It doesn't matter. Right. BuzzFeed's an old news. Who gives a shit about BuzzFeed?
No, it's her coverage. That's the story. She is the story, Jason. This is intrepid journalism. Make yourself the story.
One. Okay, we got one.
All right, go.
This is the one.
Elon Musk showing us who he really is. That's what some folks are saying after his online behavior in the last week. For example, after Jordan Neely was unalived on a New York subway, Musk liked a poll that
unalived?
I don't.
What is this liberal thing where you got to like reinvent words? Like this is okay. This is the problem. Okay, just to go back to what we were saying before. What I became convinced of now is that somewhere in the 19th century, there was this movement, and this is a whole bit behind Darwinism, Freud, all the rest of it. They want to get rid of God. They want to unseat Christianity from society. So now how do you do that? Well, you need to reinvent all these terms and produce them into a materialistic framework. How do you do that? Well, instead of confessional, where you go to the church, you know, the Orthodox Church was based. One of the ways to think about the Orthodox Church, and many of the saints and fathers have always said this, is the Orthodox Church is a healing place. It's like basically a spiritual hospital. You go there to be spiritually healed, all right, so that you can interface with God purely without sin. Okay, that's its main purpose. what do you do with psychiatry? Well, you, instead of the confessional, you put it on the couch,
right?
You invert all the spiritual messaging and all the spiritual language that had been weakened because of the schisms and Protestantisms.
We'll go with that.
Whatever. And you create a new clergy, which is called just psychoanalysis, mm-hmm. right? Darwinism, right? Well, how do you unseat creation? Well, you come up with this theory that we all evolved from apes, and because we have similar traits, right? And even though Hume, I think, has basically disproved empiricism, and liberalism has just kind of shuffled empiricism under the rug. Adam Patrick and I talked about this on the stream we did recently, but it's just like, right? Don't look at that, because you can't confirm sense data with sense data. It's impossible. Right. Like, if something's wrong, if there's a fractal error with your eyes and that you can't detect, well, then, and you're confirming all your data with your eyes, then you're wrong. Like, what?
Yeah. No, but there definitely does seem to be a coordinated, concerted effort. Just looking back in recent modern history to eliminate. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Just to get back to this clip, unalived. You have to reinvent language. Like, what's wrong with dead? They don't want to say murder. They want to say,
well, that. Oh, so there you go. You just caught it, because it avoids a lawsuit.
Exactly. They don't want to say murder. They can't say murder because he hasn't been tried yet. And in this case, it's fucking murder, right? Yeah. In case there's other details about the fucking case that they haven't released yet, that it actually turns out he was acting in self-defense or saving someone from being killed, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. This is the new term. It's such cowardly bullshit. It infuriates me.
If the victim deserved it. He also liked a tweet that called the victim, quote, worthless. And Musk reacted to a meme that implies the media focuses disproportionately on crimes committed by white people against people of color. An educated statistician tore apart, saying it presents a, quote, racially loaded question, which leads to a, quote, racially biased answer.
Okay. We live in a world where recently a guy, I believe he was at Harvard, was under investigation and had his fellowship removed because he was altering studies to make them more racially impactful than they would normally have been. Peter Quinones did a show about this recently, so go check that out. But it's known that the academics change things to favor or cover up certain details. This isn't like conspiracy theory. I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. It's known in the news. It's been confirmed in like freaking BBC and all the other major outlets. Like, this isn't some fringe story.
Yeah. Well, and this follows to our previous conversation with science. It's like, just because someone in a lab coat is doing it does not make it science. You have to look on whether or not they're applying science. And all these people in lab coats gave that up a while back.
On top of that, when it emerged that the gunman from the Texas attack was a white supremacist, Musk cast doubt on established fact.
The Mexican?
Why should you care about this? Musk is one of the richest men in the world. He's at the helm of a social media site that, like it or not, a lot of people use. Which means things the algorithm boosts...
Including her. This is off of Twitter.
...or hides can impact people's worldviews. Even some of the most aggressive racists believe Twitter has changed under Musk. Several users on a racist 4chan forum said they're thinking of rejoining. What do you think of all this?
Okay. I'm going to leave her face up there for a second, because I...
No.
This is what's wrong. This is the reason why we keep using her clips. And I talked about this off stream. I don't want to use her clips either, right? It's like the Young Turks. I try to avoid even mentioning their name, because I think it's just pointless. Or Sam Cedar or any of these guys, right? And I think we'll wear her out a little bit, and then we'll never talk about her again. But what I've been finding with her is that every single time I'm looking for what is the most normie, horrible position on anything, she shows up and says, like, says it so perfectly. I can't.
Turns it up to 11, right? Like, you can't even. She doesn't fall into normie. Like, this is just, you can't be this it's not even dishonest. It's just unethical, no mooring to trying to be even-handed or realistic. I mean, this is just, it's remarkable to watch. It is Young Turks level. And listen, there is a place there. Shout out to Mr. Devin Tracy, who, if I keep bothering you on Twitter, will eventually come on this show, because they supply him with endless content. And he does a great job. And thank God for people like him, because people do watch these shows and take them seriously and think that they're being informed. And that's unbelievably dangerous. So there needs to be people out there who are countering their, misinformation and disinformation is coming. The call's coming from inside the house, folks. Rachel.
We got a super chat from random username on Rumble. For $5. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Send us your Rumble rants over on Rumble. If you go over there and check us out as we're talking live over on Rumble, which is our new live home. Where else do we want to go from this?
What's the super chat?
It's just saying he's $5 showing support.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So I showed you that Rachel Gilmore clip to show you this. Why is this doing that? To show you this, if I can find it now. Of course, Elon Musk just did an interview.
An interview.
What did I say?
He said, I'm sorry, I watched so many American YouTube channels. I don't know what it is about folks south of a certain parallel, but A is if it comes before a word that starts with a consonant. And an is if it comes before a word that starts with a vowel. It's not complicated. It's just a beef. I had to get it out. Practice at home. Did I kill you, Jay?
Anyways, so here's an interview with Elon Musk.
There goes half our audience.
Make a choice. You don't see, I mean, in terms of when you're going to engage. I mean, for example, even today, Elon, you tweeted this thing about George Soros.
Uh-uh.
I'm looking for it because I want to make sure I quote it properly. But I mean, you know what you wrote, but you basically.
I said it reminds me of Magneto. This is like, calm down, people. This is not like Magneto.
You said he wants to erode the very fabric of civilization.
Sorry, the tweet is that Elon tweeted out that George Soros is like George Soros is like Magneto, or George Soros reminds him of Magneto.
Something reminds him, yeah.
Which is also, and Magneto is also Jewish by the, oh, sorry, I should say. Magneto is also.
And a Holocaust survivor.
Mm-hmm.
He was there. Like, that means you survived, right?
I think
you're there.
Okay, but why share it?
Live during.
Why share it? Why share it when people who buy Teslas may not agree with you? Advertisers on Twitter may not agree with you. Why not just say, hey, I think this. You can tell me. We can talk about it over there. You can tell your friends. But why share it widely?
I mean, this is freedom of speech. I'm allowed to say what I want.
You absolutely are. But I'm trying to understand why you do, because you have to know it's got a there. It puts you in the middle of the partisan divide in the country. It makes you a lightning rod for criticism. I mean, do you like that? People today.
Elon also tweeted out that he thought that George Soros was destroying democracy, destroying the fabric of society, or something along those lines. So let's just follow along that for a second. If you're Elon Musk and you believe that George Soros is a great evil, and you have a platform and you have a position where you can put that out to millions, if not billions, of people, because you honestly believe that George Soros is part of the problem. Why wouldn't you make that public? That's like, well, why are you talking about the house? What? Okay, so that city was on fire. Why'd you talk about it? Like, what do you care?
What's your motivation for telling us why you think someone who is objectively trying to destroy society wants to destroy society? Why would you say that? Why? Did you know he's a Jew?
Come on.
Just tell us what you're really thinking.
Saying he's an anti-Semite. I don't think you are.
No, I'm definitely. I'm like a pro-Semite. If anything,
I believe that probably is the case. Yes. But
that's going in my bio.
The case.
I mean, look, we don't want to make this a George Soros interview.
No, God, no. I don't want to at all. But what I'm trying, even came up though in the annual meeting. I mean, you know, do your tweets hurt the company? Are there Tesla owners who say, I don't agree with his political position? Because,
look at his face right there. Sorry for audio. Pretty bad. Elon is just giving him like the most
death glare.
Death, and also like, you're fully in my concentration now. Mm-hmm. Like he's calculating him down. Let's look, even if Elon Musk is full of shit, in terms of whatever, like he's
the best damn good at it.
Salesman, man, he's good at it.
Yeah. Like at some point, I think they're just going to stop interviewing him because he knows how to handle himself. And I don't think they know what to do with it. Like, I mean, he puts Trump to shame. It's like intelligent, thoughtful, and pointed.
Well, hang on, and because it's coming up, but because he can also just make things uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. But oh yeah, he doesn't mind the silence. He's like,
no,
because he shares so much of it. Or there are advertisers on Twitter that Linda Yaccarino will come and say, "You got to stop, man," or you know, "I can't get these ads because of some of the things you tweet."
It's uncomfortable.
Boom. That's the, you should have just done that for like 5 minutes.
It's almost as if someone told him he should say "an" instead of "a" in front of an interview.
There's a scene in The Princess Bride. Great movie.
Great movie.
Where he confronts the person who killed his father. And he says, offer me money. Offer me power. I don't care.
So you just don't care. You want to share what you have to say?
I'll say what I want to say, and if the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
I love him. I want to keep him.
It's hard not to like. It's hard not to like. And I like the first guy. So you just don't care? Like, no, what I mean is I do care enough that I have what's called a hierarchy of values, and money's not at the top of it.
Well, this is the big takeaway too, is that when you get past a certain amount of money, of course you don't care in that sense, because why would he care about money? Like, he is money.
Well, so take the perspective that he is just the ultimate greedy capitalist. If civilization falls apart, it doesn't matter how many billions you have, because there's nothing to fucking buy with it.
Right.
So exactly. You could just, there's your base motivation, right? Like, oh no, I want things to exist.
Yeah.
I like houses and food.
I don't like the whole idea of population decline leading to the collapse of civilization, because right? that's kind of how I build my billions, you dickwad. Like,
yeah, civilization not collapsing is kind of a universal good.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you are, you benefit, unless you're Bill Gates or somebody who's got a big, I don't know. What's that movie? I think it was Ethan Hawke, I don't remember, where they all move up into like a spaceship. And all the rich people live there, and it like surrounds the ring around the world. Like that's the mentality I think of most of them. Elon, luckily, from what it seems, isn't one of those people. Exactly. Even though he's the "let's go live on Mars" guy.
Okay, so the reason I shared that clip is, okay, so now you see where the media is trying to control a narrative, and the narrative is that you're not allowed to talk about George Soros, right? You're not allowed to say anything unless you're saying.
Do you know how much money he gives us?
Right. And let's not even discuss the whole thing that where George Soros, this was a tweet, I couldn't find the thread, but I'll just tildeer it. He was, there was an organization called the George Soros DA Fund, where he went around and funded certain DAs who, instead of changing laws and trying to go through Congress and other governmental forms to change laws, he just funded a lot of district attorney races. They got in power, and they changed law within that structure by doing legal cases. Mm-hmm. And suddenly now you have a situation where George Soros is talking about equality of criminals. So he's saying that the fact that there's more black criminals in jail than white criminals is offensive and is not progressive. And what we really should do is have parity. So either equal amount of white to black criminals or less black criminals than either way you're measuring it, you're going to have more white people in jail. And oh, by the way, Hispanics are now white, by the way, because they're losing. There's not enough white people to make white nationalist crimes, and now they're just including Hispanics in there, which is fun.
Right.
Latinx. Right. Or they're going to decrease the amount of African Americans, blacks, whatever the term is now, in jail. Which, of course, we're seeing, which is leading to having
things on subways. People, yeah,
things on subways. So, anyways. I posted that because that's an interesting narrative control. Again, the control over your inputs is what's important. You are only as good as your inputs. All of these shows, all of podcasting, from Joe Rogan to us, is based on what we're getting from the media. And it's whether the media is MSNBC or CNN or Fox News or Rachel Gilmore or whoever you're getting your media from, mm-hmm. You're getting it from a source. And if that source is polluted and corrupted, then your thought processes will be polluted and corrupted. It's insanely difficult to do this stuff. Like, look, we produce a show every week. I spend a lot of time thinking about this show and combing through media. I've been combing through media for 25 years now. And trying to figure out different sources and where people are lying and different narrative structures and all that kind of stuff. It's gotten to the point now where it's almost getting impossible to sift through this stuff, especially because they're just lying to you. Nine times out of 10, they're lying to you, which brings us to this. Greta Thunberg. Remember Greta? I don't know if this...
Something.
I
remember this something.
Play. Will this play?
How you hear dare this? You?
Did you hear that?
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Did you hear it?
Yeah. How oh, dare. Do it again. I talked over it.
How dare you?
I was hoping this was actually going to work on here.
I want to have that. I want to have that on command.
I do that.
Everything you say. All your bad jokes. Bam.
I don't have bad jokes. I have jokes that are just before their time. Okay, Greta Thunberg.
Jokes.
Of course.
Yes, when you're talking about climate change, you have said, quote, I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. Is there what particular study or scientific report did you read that made you come to this conclusion?
Thank you for a question. First of all, let me just clear that those are metaphors.
No, they're not.
Wait.
No, they're not.
Just open a dictionary and read the definition of metaphor.
Fucking ESL liar. Okay. No, they're not. A metaphor. Here, I'll tell. Let's do this.
Can we do that? Can we open the book of knowledge and educate? Well, you know what? I mean, she missed a couple of years.
Metaphor definition for kids. A metaphor is a device in descriptive writing. It compares something directly to something else in order to create an image or resemblance, something which is similar. For example, her cheeks were on fire. He had a heart of stone. So if she said, my fear grips me like a vice, that's a metaphor. What she said is a fucking lie.
You often use metaphor.
Wait, we backed up. Did she use the word as? Maybe she means simile?
Nope. Well, hang on. But not from his
quote. I want you to be as scared as...
Hang on.
When you're talking about climate change, you have said, quote, I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day.
I want you to feel the fear I fear every day. I'm assuming this is a direct quote.
She doesn't contest.
She doesn't challenge the quote. So she's responding to the quote, and she's saying that that quote that he just said to her, I'm going to assume it's verbatim, is a metaphor. That's wrong.
Greta, that's called a statement.
Is there what particular stuff?
You could maybe be nice and say it's being hyperbolic, which is just the polite way of saying
resort
fucking
to hyperbole.
Liar. Yeah, you're fucking liar.
I meant like I want you to, well, listen, okay, here's the rock solid defense. She's a crazy person. and she panics a lot all the time, and she wants you to panic that much too.
She just wants you to be on the same medication she is.
Exactly. She wants you to feel my pain. Where's your pain from? My inside my brain.
Yeah, take this Pfizer pill.
Study or scientific report did you read that made you come to this conclusion?
Thank you for a question. First of all, let me just clear that those are metaphors. In speeches, you often use metaphors. Of course, I don't mean literally that I want people to panic.
She wants you to panic metaphorically.
There was no scientific study that made me come to that conclusion.
Oh, okay, so you didn't say that.
I did, but it's a metaphor that you often use in speeches.
Yes.
That you often use in speeches. Oftentimes when we're talking on the show, I'm telling you to, I want you to feel the fear that I fear. I want you to panic.
No, but then what you said about the scientific studies, I can't recall it at the moment.
It's just you said that there's no scientific studies.
I didn't read the studies, and that was the metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah. Another $5 super chat from a random username on Rumble. King Elon of Mars, I'm calling it. He's black-pilled on democracy.
Now you're getting our hopes up.
It's quite possible, except that, you know, space is fake and gay, and there is no Mars. But
other than all the stuff he does for a living, based. Other than everything he's ever, other than Twitter, everything else he's ever done, fake and gay.
Okay, so I know we're going long here, but I came across Jonathan Pageau and Jay Dyerclin.
Oh, geez, I want to really talk about long this. Now.
We're at 1 hour.
I just found out. Sorry to cut you off. I just found out that Jay Dyer and Jamie Kennedy are on tour together. Remember Jamie Kennedy? He's an actor. He was in like the really bad, not Scream, and not like I Know What You Did Last Summer, but like the bad knockoff. I Know What You Did Last. Or no, actually, it was Scream. I think he was in. He was sort of The Mask 2, Son of the Mask. Come on, Jay. You're letting me down here. Jamie Kennedy. He was like almost the shit for like two years.
Jamie
in the late 90s.
Kennedy.
Look him up. You'll know him. He was that kind of annoying guy who was in all those kind of annoying movies.
Oh. It's like Seth Green, but not Seth
Yeah,
Green.
He's like the dollar store Seth Green.
Oh, man. He looks rough, dude. Life
yeah,
has
too many
not
red pills.
Been, hang wait, life has not been con- yeah, this is why you don't take all the red. What is this? Oh, dude, don't.
He's giving Fred Durst a run for his money.
Okay, what do you look like? How it started?
Where, yeah, it's you're not helping the movement, bro. Like, fucking shape, okay? Jesus.
Oh, no, Jamie. Oh, no, Jamie, don't do it, bro. Get some sunlight. Touch some grass. Fucking A.
Yeah, all right. Anyways, yeah, sorry. Just had to throw that in there. Back to Mr. Okay. Dyer.
We haven't even touched on the trans stuff. Actually, no, hang on a second. Before we do this, let's get to this. So... Hey, remember we did that episode?
Oh yeah.
About Bud Light. And I said, where are we here? I'm lost in my oh no. I'm lost.
Wait, are you looking for the Miller clip? Giving Bud a rud for their money?
No, I've lost us I have so many things open.
Maybe that's God telling you to stick to my timeline.
You know what? No. Okay. Seriously, I don't.
You got 10 seconds. Someone would send a super chat. Fill the gap here.
Yeah,
help
sorry,
Jason, guys. Depending on the audience.
Where the fuck did I go? Oh no.
I got nothing, man.
Okay, hang on. Wait. Where are we here?
Did you send it to me? Can I check my emails?
I don't know.
If we're going to go out with a whimper, let's do it hard.
Okay, hang on. Wait a minute here. There's this, there's that, there's this.
Why don't you play the Jay Dyer clip while you're looking for it?
I see, here's the thing. I would love to, but I've actually lost where we at, where my Streamlabs link, where we're talking. Oh, here we are. Woo. Pull it out. Okay. So remember when I talked about Bud Light and everyone's freaking out and saying, go woke, go broke, right? Mm. I was like, hang on, guys. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Well, it's beginning to look a lot like I was fucking right. This is a new Adidas ad. New Adidas swimsuit ad. Yeah, it's a man.
It's not even a trap.
Nope. Hairy chest, big ass bulge, long bun hair. Sorry for doing this. Audio listeners, there's a video component to this. You can just skip this.
Happy weekend, folks.
That dude's got bigger shoulders than I do, which, you know, represent.
This is some of Michelle Obama shoulders.
Now.
She works out a lot. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, she certainly does. You know, it's, I mean, do you ever ask Michelle Obama how old she is? She's like, she has to count by stomping her foot. Anyways, so we also have meet your new cover model on the Sports Illustrated.
Oh, isn't this the cooking lady?
Yeah, it's Kim. It's no.
Oh no. Okay, I was thinking of another
Kim Petrius.
Yeah.
Same life moment. I don't think anything could have prepared me, and I don't think I'll ever really have that feeling again.
Hey, what's up? I'm Kim Petrius, and I'm shooting for Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
I was so excited when I got the call to be in Sports Illustrated.
Okay, what sport?
It
was a joke, Jason.
Owning the media, of course.
How dare you?
How dare you?
She fills out two boxes. She's trans and
big and gay,
and she's kind of chubby, right? Which is in Hollywood, this is morbidly obese.
It's very iconic, and a lot of very iconic people have done it before. So big dream come true for me, and was definitely nervous. I was like, can I pull it off? But now that we're doing it, I feel like I can.
It's a billboard.
I saw this. This is the one with the hips.
Wait.
You have to see the hips.
I love the head right in front of the crotch area.
I didn't even notice.
We're progressive, but we don't want to get in trouble.
There's a limit to everything.
With the international, we want to be able to maybe put this in Saudi Arabia somehow. So
yeah, good luck.
I'm gonna help people take away from this that I look really
maybe
hot.
That was the cover shot too. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so let's just listen to that, right? What do you want to get to take away from this? Is she's a trans, right? So this, just for anyone who's confused about this, she's a trans, male to female, transgendered, who's now going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You would think that it, when asked, like, well, what do you want, you know, what's the importance of this? Like, you'd think, I'm representing, it's a major movement for trans people, the visibility for trans people. It's all right. Hang on.
Yeah, get on there.
Look really hot. And...
Wait, sorry.
it's like famous and stuff, and like I get to like be pictures.
People take away from this that I look really hot, and Sports Illustrated is cool.
I love it.
Okay, so
honesty.
If this was Tim Pool, if we were on Timcast. He'd be like, oh, go woke, go broke.
If we were on Timcast,
how's this happening?
I would be deferring my opinion to Blair White,
who would be giving you a lap dance,
who would be telling Mecca Malice what to say,
yes, with his or hand up his ass. So this is the thing though, right? It's like, I can understand why people looking this on the surface level and going, how does this keep happening? Right? Bud Light just put that thing out with Dylan Mulvaney, massive backlash. People blowing up cans, you know, no, the sales are tanking. They took this massive hit on their credit score, everything, right? It's looking horrible for Bud Light and Bud and Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser and all the rest of it. And yet they're doubling down. They keep doubling down, and they never apologize, and they never issue an apology. The episode where we first covered this, we talked about how if they didn't have a low enough ESG score, they were facing a 25% penalty. So they probably did the math and said, this is fine. We're going to be fine because we're going to Pride Month, where all these things are going to reverse themselves.
Well, I don't know. Apparently they've been boycotted by the perpetually offended.
Well, you see that
side didn't work out. But again, to the greater point, that doesn't matter either because they don't even care about beer sales. Sorry.
No, they care about investors.
This is Lysenkoist capitalism, right? Like there's no more capitalism. They don't care
about stakeholder capital. I'm gonna do the news you can use portion of this in a second, but I'll give you an example, right? So this is just creating models, right? In the Girardian sense, you have one model, and then you're gonna have a lot of people mimetically modeling that model, right? Because it's getting a lot of attention. And people who desire attention are going to do the thing that gives them attention. So, case in point, here's this demon.
All right, everyone. That's great. Friday night, I'm getting ready to go out. This is the look. I'm feeling cunt. But before I go out...
Sorry, feeling what?
I think she says feeling cunt.
Is that a thing?
I guess so.
I'm getting old.
I don't speak demon. I don't know.
Game is with...
Sorry, you rewind. Just start it over because it's really short and I fucked it up. I'm going to start using that, I think, because I want to be with the cool kids.
I'm feeling cunt.
All right, everyone. So it's Friday night. I'm getting ready to go out. This is the look. I'm feeling cunt. But before I go out, I've got
to be right.
And the only way I pregame is with an ice cold Bud Light. So good.
That is his first sip of beer ever. Guaranteed.
So you're going to see more of this. Yeah. I guarantee you're going to see more of this, right? Miller Lite got everyone's freaking out about Miller Lite now because the video they posted was like 2 months old, but it was for like women's.
Cringe is that girl from that TV show that was big like 8 years ago.
Who cares? Just, and like, they're talking like, about how women actually invented beer and blah 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 blah.
Oh, so wait, sorry. For anyone who has seen the ad, right? Because they're like, it's really cool and clever because they say shit over and over. Like, welcome to what wasn't even cool 10 years ago. But it's this liberal trope, like what we say is funny because we swear. But the funniest thing is because the whole idea behind the ad is that it doesn't make any sense. They're like, we collect all this shit. And then we put the shit into compost, but the shit is like misogynistic advertising. So they're composting posters, maybe because it had the same word in it and they don't know what that means. Maybe they never actually went in your compost. I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But the first comment under the whatever tweet it was that I saw it on was like, okay, everyone literally send them shit. They ask for it in the commercial. Give them what they want.
Yeah, it's so
if you don't trust me, look it up and you'll get it.
A random username on Rumble has given us $1 and he says Maple Leaf.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. This is building the Jay Dyer clip, but so here's the thing that I think people have got to get their brains wrapped around, and it's not about go woke, go broke. It's something much again, we're talking about a spiritual warfare here going on here. They don't care about the beer. They don't care about you boycotting the beer. They don't care about if you like the beer or not. Because if you with a super chat to Stahl when I was trying to figure things out. Oh.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt. Whatever. Okay. Let's envision this. The last lockdowns, almost destroyed a whole bunch of private small businesses and independent businesses, right? When you start thinking about franchise deals, you don't have, Coca-Cola doesn't have to go around to each and every McDonald's and make a new deal with them. He makes one deal with one McDonald's and they're carried through that whole entire brand, right? If the eventual idea, what they're planning on doing is these 15-minute cities, which are going to be completely corporate owned, corporate cities, let's call them that. They're going to be called smart cities, but they're really just going to be corporate cities. Or they're going to shut down all independent businesses and only have and only be able to operate through franchises.
Yeah. And yeah, we're going back to company towns.
Right.
Right? And it's like you get paid towns, in credit that you can use at the company store.
Right. And if those company towns decide that, well, we need to know what to stock, right? What are we going to stock for our employees? Well, let's look down the list. So we're going to stock beers or alcohol companies. We're going to find the one with the lowest ESG score.
You mean
and that's the one that's the one you're going to have options for. And that's it. That's all you'll have. You'll have a choice between, maybe you'll have a choice between, so Miller Lite is owned by Molson Canadian.
This Molson Coors.
By Molson. Yeah, Molson Coors. Okay. They own that. So
right, yeah. So this is a race to the gate, because they know right. Options are diminishing, and it's going to be complete top down control. Choice will be gone, and it will be decided by whatever committee runs our lives, which options you're allowed to have, and that's going to be based on compliance. So this is a race for most compliant to get in the gate when there is no more market, there is no more free market. This is what's the word you just used? Schwab's thing, something capitalism, stakeholders. Shareholder capitalism is dead. This is stakeholder capitalism, where they decide mm-hmm. what your options are.
And your options are going to be limited to basically who has the best ESG scores, because they're going to keep these companies in line from saying, well, fuck you, I'm not doing this, mm-hmm. right? By simply saying, okay, well, you're not going to do this? Great, cool. By the way, all that banking investment, all that money that you need to operate, that is, you know, that's not dependent on sales. Yeah, we're going to revoke that. You can't do your banking anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, oh, you don't like that? Okay, cool. You know, all the roads that you use to transport your goods, yeah, you can't use them anymore.
Yeah, you didn't.
We're
going to
just say
roads.
No, right? We're going to cancel your contracts that we have control over.
Yeah, and anyone who says, oh, they wouldn't do that, didn't live through the past 3 years.
Trust me,
as soon as I hear that, my reflex is build alternative systems. Right? That's usually the libertarian answer. It's like, well, then do your own.
Sure,
that's not in their plans. But the more I'm never the pessimist. If we do enough of that in time, while there still are roads before they fuck those up, we might have a chance. But you got to get on it. Speak now.
Yeah, or understand that the boycott can't be materialistic. The boycott's got to be spiritual. So when we're
you gotta break that one down for me.
Well, okay, because if you're just boycotting Bud Light, where I'm not going to buy Bud Light, I'm going to buy this beer. And then that beer goes woke. I'm not going to buy that beer. I'm going to buy this one. Okay.
Yeah, stop drinking. That's what you got. I'm not going
to. No, it doesn't mean stop drinking. It means it has to be across the board. It has to be more meaningful than these guys had an ad campaign that I don't like.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's got to be that.
Do it on a moral basis.
Again, demons are real, right? However you want to parse that in your secular brain, however you want to, whatever language you want to use, demons are real, and we are at war with them. So. We started off the show with a downer note of talking about excess deaths and the cover up and that the prescribed vaccines were probably responsible for possibly millions or tens of millions of deaths and injuries. Okay, that's the people we're dealing
possibly,
with.
These are the same, Susan. Possibly.
Possible. No, fuck Susan. We're not on YouTube. I don't give a shit about putting this on YouTube. Cancel us. Fuck
I
you.
Like the presence. Come on, we don't got to do it ourselves.
No.
It seems like the more we taunt them, the less shit they give us. So keep it up.
Well, let's keep this on Rumble exclusively. I don't care, because this is I'm not playing games anymore, right? And the only reason I bring up this Tim Cass level analysis on this is that it's important to get this right. If you get this wrong, this is the problem with James Lindsay and a whole bunch of other well-meaning liberals, is that you diagnose the issue, right? You've diagnosed it perfectly well, but you're missing the important part of it, which is where the sacrifice has to happen. And if you get it wrong, you will be sacrificed, or you will allow millions of other people across the globe to be sacrificed.
Right.
If you're not comfortable with that, then you have to understand who's demanding the sacrifice, who's sacrificing who. It's not about beer. They don't think it's about beer. They don't give a shit about beer. They don't care if you buy it. They care about the contracts. They care about being in the store. They care about they care about presence. That's it.
Well, so it's like you were saying before, you're diagnosing the symptoms and missing the cause and missing the root, right? And
right.
The root is, it's way deeper. It's a lot harder to sacrifice than to just, like right now, Bud Light is the lowest of low-hanging fruit. Say, well, I'm not going to buy that beer brand. Sorry, yeah, you're 100% right. That's not going to achieve anything because it's what's the goal? Their goal, they don't give a shit about what beer you buy. You got to think big picture and you got to look at what is the motivation behind why they're doing this. And it's not gay people or trans people or marginalized communities. They don't give a shit about them. It's about control. And you got to think a level deeper.
Okay. We'll end on this clip. This is Jay Dyer and Jonathan Pajot talking. This is from a larger conversation they had. It's a 2-hour-long conversation, about mostly about iconography. But this deals with, if we're talking about trans, we're talking about all these things that are going on, and everyone's like mystified. Like, why is this all this weird stuff happening? This, I think, encapsulates pretty well, and we'll end on this.
Panic stuff, but yeah. I don't understand the weirdness. Like, the weirdness. What's with the apostles in a Corvette? I don't get
that. Well, it really has to do with the end. It has to do with the end, I'm sorry to say. So if you kind of understand, you know, when we talked about the idea that I talked about the medieval manuscript, you know, and how you have the image in the center, and then on the border you'll have the ornamentation, and then you also have idiosyncrasy and monstrosity. You'll have little monsters, little weird figures in the borders. And if you look at the first cycle, let's say, in scripture, from the fall to the flood, you get that same image, right? You have this movement down the mountain, a mountain of paradise, moving out into the chaos. And then what happens is you have mixture, you have giants, you have monsters, basically. And so that's the weirdness. Weirdness is just a breakdown of meaning. And so it's a breakdown of hierarchy. It's coming to the edge of an identity, and now experimenting the idiosyncrasy of that identity. It's like, you know, you have the central image of the garden, and then at the edge of that you have the monster. Okay. Think of like the Pliny's map is like that, right? You have the Omphalos in the middle, and then on the edge you have all these monsters racing.
Creatures.
So that's where secrets. We are. We're at the edge of the world with all the monsters coming out. And it's manifesting itself in all kinds, like something as silly as Sesame Street, where all these monsters are your friends. You know, this idea of monstrosity and you know, the idea of like How to Train Your Dragon, where ultimately the dragons end up being better than us, right? All of this imagery, it's in the zeitgeist, like it's in the air, because we are at the end of something, like we're reaching the end of something. And so because of that, you know, that's why the 70 genders and, you know, all this breakdown of identity into idiosyncrasy, that's the image. And so the weirdness is, it really is like this modern pulse, like this modern like a thrust to go against the meaning.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll pause it there. We can go. My plan is, anyone watching this, I'm going to do a deep dive over on my locals. You can use the join button at the bottom of the screen to go over to our locals page and join up there. I'll do a live stream tomorrow around 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, going through this whole clip. But I think it's an interesting place to stop and consider, is that we are at the end of something. Revelations tells us that the whore riding the beast, that the beast will dismount the whore and devour her. I think that's where we're at right now, or we're increasingly getting to that point. I'll go more into depth on this on locals, but it's one of those things.
I like where you're going with that. Of. Everybody, join Jason on Locals because he'll go deep. It's been a while. I've been drinking beer the whole time. Things add up. I'll give you an hour, Jay. It's Friday night for me. Just like take a break. Play us out, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching. Thank you, random user name on Rumble. I know who you are. Thank you, brother, for the super chats. Thank you for everyone who's been joining and paying attention. Sorry for the losing us in the tabs.
Music.
Oh well, the music's playing.
I don't hear it.
Oh, you don't hear it?
No.
Oh, well, that sucks.
That's like it makes my whole evening is the. No, that's the wrong music.
I got it.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Added. Thank you to Jason, my illustrious host, Jason, for hosting the show, doing all the hard work.
We'll be back next week. Again, mark your calendars. Mark your calendars off around June 16th.
Mark your candles too. It's a new thing we're starting. You're like at the halfway point, then you'll know when you're halfway.
We put the semi in semi pro, folks.
Trans pro?
Yeah.
Like a thing? Well, we're transitioning to pro.
We will talk to you again soon.